This is Stephen Strang, and today on the Strang Report, I'm interviewing Lee Grady, well-known to the Charisma audience, who recently wrote a very interesting column that we ran online about what's happening in the Ukraine. And he has a lot of contacts over there. He encouraged readers to pray, and I reached out to him and said, let's do a podcast, because I think this is such an important topic. You don't want to miss my conversation with Lee Grady, so stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Welcome back. And Lee, thank you for taking time right before you get on an airplane to go on a ministry trip for the Mordecai Project to talk about what's happening in the Ukraine, which seems to be changing every day. Tell me the latest that you've heard from some of your sources.
Well, and by the way, good morning, Steve. It's wonderful to be with you on this call. A lot of my contacts who are working over there are engaged in humanitarian efforts. As you know, I think the latest number I heard was 1.2 million Ukrainians have been displaced by this invasion, and they're just fleeing, you know, their cities either to villages in the rural areas of Ukraine, or many of them have fled to Poland, to Romania, to different places where they can just find safety. And so my friends who are all in ministry, they are either pastors or some of them are laymen, they are helping people get moved, and then providing food and housing for them when they get to where they're going. So it's, you know, it's an incredibly disturbing situation when you think about just the masses of people, the vulnerable people, the children, women who are, the elderly who are being transported. It's a very, very sad situation.
It is indeed. And I've been to Ukraine several times. It was in the 90s where the situation was very different. But even back then, it seemed to me that the churches, and I went over there to see churches and interact with them and attend services and so forth, they seemed to be much more vibrant than the church I saw in Russia, often on the same trip. And I'm told that among evangelicals, that evangelicalism is stronger in the Ukraine than anywhere else in Europe.
Yes, absolutely.
Is that your experience as well?
Yes, Ukraine is really viewed by Christians in Europe as really a hub of evangelical Christianity. One of my friends, Peter Kucher, who's a Ukrainian-American living in Chicago, he's a pastor, he told me that Ukraine has planted, people from Ukraine have planted more churches probably than from any other, at least surely Eastern European country, planted churches all over Europe from there. They've even planted churches in Russia. And so it's very, very vibrant. And I think, honestly, this is one of the reasons why this is happening is, you know, the Bible says we shouldn't be ignorant of the devil's schemes. I mean, the devil is certainly not happy with the fact that Christianity is thriving there and that the gospel is being promoted from there. And so he would like to do anything to disrupt that. So that's one more reason why we really need to be praying about this and praying that the Holy Spirit will strengthen those Christians there, and that the Lord will protect, you know, the seed of the gospel that has been planted there.
Well, the real reason I wanted to do this podcast, because you wrote a very good report, of course, which we will link to this somehow, but to talk about people praying and how we can support the church. Right now, I understand it's very hard to get humanitarian aid into the country because of all that's happening. I talked yesterday with Dave Donaldson of CityServe, He's actually flying to Europe tomorrow to see what he can do. And he said that they were trying to work through the churches. And even with the refugees, when they flee, they don't know who to trust. And they were trying to get some of the churches in the surrounding countries to, you know, kind of welcome these people, because it's very, very serious. And you have some contacts both in the Ukraine and in Russia. You mentioned this in your article, but just tell me about the contacts that you have, what you're hearing. And maybe I should have started by asking, how did you make the contacts in the first place?
Well, like you, I have been to Ukraine and been there twice, ministered there. But here in the States, over the last maybe 20 years, all the years that I've been engaged in ministry, I have been meeting Slavic Christians, many of them young people who came to this country, came to the United States when they were children, and their parents came here fleeing persecution. And so these Slavic Christians, whether they're from Russia, from Ukraine, Belarus, you know, other Eastern European, former Soviet countries, they have a passion for freedom, and they also love Jesus very much. So there's so many Slavic Christians in America who care very, very much about this situation. Another thing that a lot of your listeners probably don't know is, and this is very encouraging to me, that there are many, many Russian Christians in Russia who are, of course, are very disturbed by what's happening. They love Jesus. They love the church. They're not happy with what President Putin has done. They don't support this at all. And they are praying for the Ukrainian church. And they, you know, they, of course, they risk their lives if they speak out. And we know that there is quite a movement in Russia right now, dissenters who are protesting in the streets. I just read about a whole TV station that was speaking the truth, and they all resigned because, you know, the government is trying to control what they say. So they just walked off the set of the TV show. But Russian Christians, the ones I know, they are very, very grieved by what is happening, and they are praying for freedom and for an end to this conflict. But I have friends here in the States who maintain close daily connection with churches and leaders in Ukraine, as well as with people who are working with refugees in Poland and in Romania, and they are getting money and supplies to these people. And so I know of churches here in the United States that, you know, people can send money to them and they will get that money, that aid to the people who need it.
Well, that's good to know. And we want to try to help connect our listeners and readers to different ministries that are reaching out. You know, the Bible talks about not only praying, but actually doing things to help. And through our nonprofit partner, Christian Life Missions, we're going to try to do our part too. And this podcast is just one part of it. In fact, I'll come back with a message at the end on how people can get involved. But I'm interested, and we haven't really talked about it yet, the column that you wrote a day or two ago, and I have it here in front of me. And the headline says, "Pray for Ukraine as if your family lived there." And there was a picture about a group of Ukrainians who've been meeting at 7 a.m. every morning for several years to pray for their country. And there's even a picture of them all kneeling on the snow. It was very interesting, I thought. But anyway, you know, people can read the article for themselves, but I thought it would be an interesting conversation for you to just kind of comment on the different people that you talked to and what they had to say.
Yeah, well, I asked all of these friends of mine, as I said, some were from Ukraine, one is from Moldova originally, but all of them are young pastors or evangelists who are based here in the United States. And I asked them, you know, how do you advise that we pray for this conflict? And so I just have some prayer points and they can read that column, but such things as we need to obviously pray for peace and for a supernatural end to these attacks. We need to pray for the families that have been torn apart by the conflict, especially those that are having to relocate. We need to pray for provision for those who have had to leave their homes. And we need to pray also, several of them mentioned, to pray that God will use this conflict to open people's hearts for salvation. Many of these leaders I spoke with feel that this is a harvest moment for a lot of people, maybe very troubled Ukrainians who might not know Christ. And so this conflict is going to be, you know, because of the difficulties they're facing, they're going to need to turn to Jesus for help, and that they are expecting a harvest through this. And then we're also praying for angelic intervention. I've been praying this since the conflict started, and I keep hearing reports about Russian soldiers putting their arms down. Actually, sometimes Russian soldiers have just basically surrendered, because the truth is, a lot of the Russian soldiers who are engaged in this conflict, they're very young men. They don't even really know why they've been sent to do this. They don't have the same hatred in their hearts toward Ukrainians like maybe some of the leaders in Russia. And so they're just, you know, thrown into this conflict, and they're very scared. And I've just been praying that they would, you know, open their hearts and feel conviction that they're doing the wrong thing and just lay their arms down. I think that's one of the reasons why this convoy that's been on the way to Kyiv has been so slow in reaching Kyiv, because I think there's not really any kind of determination in the hearts of these soldiers. They're just doing what they've been told to do. And then the last thing is just to pray that the gospel would continue to spread from Ukraine, because as I said, Ukraine is a hub of the gospel. It has been for decades, and we want to see that continue.
Absolutely. And what you say contrasts with the Ukrainian people, who do have determination, even citizens fighting with rifles to defend themselves. Exactly. And, you know, in a way, it's amazing that the war is still going. I mean, the first day or two, it seemed to be that it would fall very, very quickly. And then everybody would be, you know, in the world would be griping at Putin for having taken over this country. But he hasn't taken it over, just very small parts of it. Right. And they're getting more and more support slowly, but they're getting more support. So it actually looks like it's going to be a protracted conflict. And it's not only military, of course, but it's humanitarian, and as you say, it's spiritual as well.
One thing I learned, Steve, from talking with my friend Peter, who is a Ukrainian American, he said that in the western regions of Ukraine, the Pentecostals tend to be very pacifist. This is something that they developed, and I know that this was also true in the early years of the American Pentecostal movement. Because of the world wars, particularly World War One, this same thing developed in Pentecostal circles in Ukraine, that they didn't believe in owning guns, they didn't believe in fighting wars, and so you factor that in. That would, of course, contrast to what you're hearing from President Zelensky of Ukraine, who's calling people to take up arms, and you see this determination in many of, and probably some of the younger evangelical Christians don't have this same pacifist view. But when you factor that in, of course, that can make things even more vulnerable for some people if they don't believe in defending themselves. You know, we have to really, really pray for protection.
I agree. And as we wrap up this short podcast, I want to give you the last word. How would you encourage people to pray for what's happening over there?
Well, Steve, in my column, I actually wrote a prayer that I put at the end, and I posted this prayer separately on on some social media, and it's been really like going viral, just because people like to hear how we articulate a prayer. But I'm just going to pray that, if that's okay.
Please do.
This is the prayer that we can pray together in unity. Father, you have used the nation of Ukraine to spread the gospel of Jesus to many nations. It has been a beacon of light and freedom to the world. Rise up now and defend your people from hostile forces. Shield them from attacks. Release your invisible angel armies to push back their enemies. Send confusion into the enemy's camp. Cause Russian soldiers to put down their weapons and go home, and prevent President Putin from using nuclear bombs. Deliver us from evil and establish your peace and your government in Ukraine and all of Eastern Europe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
That's my prayer, and I hope that everyone listening will agree, because we know that, you know, the world right now is watching this, but I also know that many, many Christians around the world are praying. And as we pray in agreement, I believe we're going to see a mighty demonstration of God's power. And we want to see the end of this conflict. And we want God to use this actually to bring down the tyranny that still exists in Russia. And perhaps God will use this conflict to tear that down, just like what we saw happen back in 1989 and in the early 90s. We can see another wave of that.
Amen. That's the right way to pray, and we can hope that that happens, and that's a good way to conclude this podcast. Thank you, Lee Grady,
Wonderful.
Contributing editor to Charisma, a longtime friend and director of the Mordecai Project. Thank you for being on my Strang Report. I'll encourage my listeners to share this. We're going to post it all over social media. You heard Lee say that his prayer was going viral. We need to get lots of people praying that. And then tune in again tomorrow for another episode of the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com.